Welcome to the Repurpose Your Career podcast, brought to you by Career Pivot. This podcast is where those of us in the second half of life come together to discuss how to repurpose our careers for the 21st century. Come listen to career experts give you proven strategies, listen to people like you tell their stories on how they repurpose their careers, and finally, get your questions answered. Your host, Mark Miller, has made six career pivots over the last 30 years. He understands this is not about jumping out of the frying pan into a fire, but rather to create a plan where you make clear, actionable steps or pivots to a better future career. Are you ready to repurpose your career?
Welcome to episode 55 of the Repurpose Your Career podcast. My name is Mark Miller, and I'll be your host every Monday for a discussion on what it's like to repurpose your career. This episode is a special one for me. I'm not sure what the title when I record this will be, but it'll be something like my decision to move to Mexico, how and why. I've had a whole variety of people ask me about the process I'm going through. And I'm probably getting a little bit of politics, and I'm going to get not much, but this is a bit of an emotional topic for me. And so stay with me. And I'm also do not have this completely scripted out. So before we get started, I'd like to announce my first Repurpose Your Career podcast audience survey. Been running this for the last several weeks. I'm going to run it through the end of the year. But after 1 year of podcasting, I'd like to know who listens to this podcast. I'm going to ask for some basic demographic information. And what do you like? And what would you like to hear about in the future? Please go to careerpivot.com/podcast survey or careerpivot.com/podcast survey. Both will redirect you to a SurveyMonkey page. Please, please, please take a moment to let me know what you think. And I'm going to repeat this request at the end of the podcast. So if you're a first-time listener, this podcast is a series. The first in the series is an interview with an expert. And 2 weeks ago, I interviewed Thea Kelly, author of Get That Job. Next month's expert will be Mac Pritchard of MaxList fame. Last week's episode, I interviewed Susan Leahy, who is the co-author on both of my Repurpose Your Career books. This was a great interview, and I encourage you to listen to episode 54. I think you will get a lot out of that. The third episode of the month is a topic I choose, which is this one. And lastly, I will record a question and answer episode with my trusty sidekick, Elizabeth Rebay. That should give you a good idea of the sequence of episodes, and I encourage you to go back through the archives to find episodes that might inspire you to repurpose your career. This week, I want to walk you down the path of my thought process on how we came to make the decision to move to Ajijic, Mexico. And by the way, that's A-J-I-J-I-C. And the proper pronunciation is Ajijic. I will also take you through my wife's and my plans for the coming year to get us there. The story starts with an episode from Hanson McLean's Money Matters podcast from October 15th of 2016, when they interviewed Art Koff, CEO of Retired Brains. And I'm going to put the link to the page on the Retired Brains website that essentially got us started. And this was, I said, on October 15th. You'll need to go into iTunes or Stitcher and go to the October 15th, 2016 podcast. But I'm a big fan of Money Matters, which comes out every Saturday morning religiously. These gentlemen have been doing a call-in show from Sacramento, California for over 20 years and now publish it as a podcast. It is a great podcast. So retiredbrains.com has a ranking of places to retire overseas. This is very analytical and had Ecuador as number one, Panama number two, and Mexico as number three. As a recovering engineer, I found this quite fascinating. And it's like I said, I will include the link to the Retired Brains report in the show notes. What I liked about the kind of analyzation is they talked about real estate. They call it special benefits, things that that expats receive, the cost of living, how easy is it to integrate, entertainment and amenities, healthcare, infrastructure, and climate. And at the very top, the top three were all very close. And so it got us thinking about, okay, what the heck does this mean? And so, and about the same time in October, I received my new healthcare, my health insurance from, I happen to have had it from Blue Cross Blue Shield of Texas, and it went up 50%. This was a year ago, and it went to $1,800 a month for my wife and myself. So we got on the exchanges, we got on healthcare.gov, looked for other plans. Like most states, I live here in Texas, the choices were very limited. I knew several people who were on a different plan, a Sendoro Ideal Care plan. It was a very, very limited network for about $1,100 a month, which, as it turns out, required my wife to change all her doctors. Now, my wife's a former nurse. She's a massage therapist. She was not pleased with this. As it turns out, in hindsight, and you'll hear about this later, it all turned out just fine. But we will end up in 2017, spend $20,000 on health insurance and medical expenses and never reach our deductible amount. That's a big price to pay. So then came early November. We had the interesting, the shocking election with Donald Trump winning. I did not vote for either Hillary Clinton or Donald Trump. Personally, I was offended at the choices that I was presented with. The outcome of this is we have elected officials in Washington who say they're going to blow up the Affordable Care Act with no idea what they're going to replace it with. Well, this has created tremendous uncertainty. And it, by the way, created tremendous anxiety for me. And if you look at, there is a CNN Money or a CNN Money article that was posted this last week, that basically the people who really get screwed are those of us who are largely either retired early or in the 60 to 64 year old age range. We get screwed. So we are, you know, we started looking at saying, okay, what can we do? And one of the things we can do is leave the country. And this is a discussion that we've had between my wife and I for multiple times over the year. I've traveled the world, and I've always wanted to live overseas. And I've done some short stints. I've traveled extensively, but never really actually lived for more than 2 or 3 months in a foreign country. Because Ecuador was the number one ranking, and I didn't know much about Ecuador, and it was kind of exotic, we picked up a number of books on Ecuador and looked at different magazine rankings. There are a ton of them. We got International Living magazine, and one of the things we started to learn was, what does it take to retire overseas? And by the way, about half of the retirees from the U.S. who retire overseas return in less than 5 years. And this is primarily for two reasons. One, the culture, they can't handle the cultural changes, or two, health reasons. So let me talk a little bit about the culture. When I started looking at Ecuador, we found a website called gringotree.com. And in there, there was an interesting post on assimilation versus integration. This is a website that is managed, and it's essentially for the Cuenca, Ecuador community and for them to support themselves. And there was an article in there about integration versus assimilation, and the gentleman discussed the fact that he had been there in Cuenca for 4 or 5 years. He was sitting at a restaurant, and he spotted a couple he'd never seen before. So he walked up to the table and said, "Are you new to Cuenca?" And they answered, "No, we've been here 3 or 4 years. We don't choose to associate with the expat community. We have chosen to assimilate into the Ecuadorian culture." So he went back to his table. He sat there and he and his wife sat there and watched them. They spoke fluent Spanish. They had learned Spanish. They spoke Spanish among themselves. They spoke Spanish to the waiter. And they had decided to assimilate. Now, one of the things you will find when you go overseas, if you assimilate into the culture, the more you assimilate into the culture, by the way, the likelihood is you will be happier, you will live longer, you will eat better, you will get more exercise, and life will be better. If you want to live like an American, eat like an American in these countries, you can. You will pay for it, both economically and health-wise. In other words, we don't eat very well in the U.S. So it's a rather interesting and stark, the fact that you can change your lifestyle. And so we first went to San Miguel de Allende in Mexico. Why? Because it's a very popular expat site. I happen to have a former colleague who was originally born in Mexico. And her joke was, San Miguel was so popular with the gringos that the Mexicans have to get a visa to go in because there's so many. And there is a webcam that is you can find, and I'll see if I can find it and put it in the show notes, where you can see the downtown plaza, a typical Mexican city plaza. And by the way, it's filled with expats. So we decided to explore San Miguel, kind of looking at this would be an easy way. We went down for 8 days in March. We booked an Airbnb, which was owned by a Canadian woman. Colleen was in her 50s. She was an artist. She owned a 4th apartment building that she lived in one and rented out the other 3. And that's how she supported herself, and she taught art at the local university, and she did her own artwork. Colleen was a sweetheart. We learned a lot from Colleen. By the way, one of the things that every book we read said, what you need to do is you need to go date these locations. In other words, this is like dating in marriage. You got to go try them out. So we decided we would go visit these places for 1 to 2 weeks. So we went to San Miguel. By the way, San Miguel is typical of much of Mexico. It's noisy. People set off fireworks any time of day and night. If you don't like that, tough, leave. It's the Mexican culture. There were lots of other things that made lots of noise during the day. It was just noisy. So we went there. We thoroughly enjoyed it. One of the things we noticed about San Miguel, it was loaded with both Americans and Canadians and some Europeans. In fact, when we took a tour, a walking tour of San Miguel, all the tour guides were all Canadian. And by the way, the Canadians, most of them were only down there for 180 days a year. The reason why 180 days is the fact that they had to go back and maintain their Canadian, they had to maintain their Canadian health care, that you had to be in the country for more than half the year. We were learning all this stuff. We also learned from our experience in San Miguel. We tried to fill my wife's prescriptions and we couldn't. My wife is on a thyroid medication that is only available in the U.S. My wife is also on a very, very low-dose steroids that we couldn't fill at the pharmacies. One of the things you soon learn is there are no CVS pharmacies in any of these places. They're very small family-owned pharmacies. And they only carry the most generic type of basic medications. And so, therefore, what we learned was in order to get these filled, we probably couldn't get my wife's thyroid medication filled anywhere in Mexico, or by the way, Ecuador, but we probably could get her other medications filled at a hospital pharmacy. We also learned that, yes, we had to shop around and find where we were going to find things that I needed for my dietary requirements. By the way, I drink smoothies for breakfast. I put ground up flaxseed in my smoothies. I use a probiotic yogurt in my smoothie. If I do that, my digestive system flows, because if my digestive system backs up, I have back problems. I've learned this for years, and I've got a routine that I take care of myself with. Well, where do I find this stuff? Because they don't typically have large supermarkets, and there was one in every place we went, but they didn't necessarily carry the kind of things I wanted, these very, very specific things that, you know, dietary requirements. Well, we figured out where we can find them. This was quite educational for us, but we were able to find them all. It took a little while in San Miguel. And by the way, San Miguel was at about 5,000 feet. My wife had a little problem with the altitude, which we will later find out had nothing to do with the altitude, but it was a good learning experience. Also, going to San Miguel, the flights in was fairly easy to get to Leon Airport, but it was an hour and a half shuttle bus ride from Leon Airport to San Miguel. It wasn't totally terribly expensive. It wasn't hard, but it made for a very long day. And similar going back, you had to plan of leaving 4 hours before the airline, before the flight left. So it made for a long day. So we went. It was very educational. One of the other things we learned is on the shuttle bus back, there was a woman who had lived in San Miguel for about 10, 12 years. She was Canadian. At the last moment, she had to head back to Montreal. She said it was a family emergency. I got the impression it was a death in the family. Well, getting back from Lyon through Houston, then through Newark, to Montreal was difficult. And this is one of the things, as you consider places to go, how easy is it to get back to the U.S. or wherever you need to go easily? This wasn't too bad. So we then decide, okay, the next thing we're going to do is we're going to go to Cuenca, Ecuador. There are three major cities in Ecuador where expats tend to go to. They are Quito, the capital, which is, by the way, at about 9,000 over 9,000 feet. Then Cuenca, which is about 750,000 people, and it is at about 8,200 feet. And then there's Guadalajara Hill, which is down on the coast. Cuenca is by far the most popular with expats, and there's some other smaller cities in the area around Cuenca. Cuenca was difficult to get to. It was a two-day trip. We planned our trip so that we flew into Quito. And by the way, this was the interesting piece. All the flights from the U.S. all arrived late at night, and you couldn't get a flight to Cuenca until the next morning. So it made both coming and going, in most cases, either an all-day affair or a two-day affair. So we decided to book several days in Quito. We booked we arrived at 10 o'clock at night. We had a room at the Wyndham at the hotel, which was a typical American hotel, which was, by Ecuadorian standards, expensive at about $120 a night. Great place, beautiful, great breakfast. We left the next day. We left next day for Quito. We got a taxi into the city. That's when I started noticing my wife was very fatigued. We spent 2 days in Quito. My wife was again struggling with fatigue. We went to Cuenca, and Cuenca's at over 8,000 feet. And what we soon learned was a significant number of Americans who retire to Cuenca leave within a couple of years, primarily due to the altitude. Cuenca is a very, very young city. Multiple universities. It was quite stark seeing all these young people walking around with little children. And I like Cuenca. Unfortunately, my wife's fatigue didn't get any better. We decided we had planned 2 weeks. We stayed about 5-6 days in Cuenca, and we decided we needed to get home. Say the least, we flew home. It was an arduous 3-day trip to get home. And once we did, my wife ended up in the hospital. My wife was very, very anemic. We still don't know exact problem yet, but we're working on it. And I said, my wife's a former nurse, which means she sucks at taking care of herself. But Cuenca is now off the list, but we learned a lot. We learn, for example, when you go to Ecuador, the fruits and vegetables you will be presented with don't look anything like the fruits and vegetables you find here in the U.S. They're good, they're tasty, they're wonderful. They just don't look like what you get here in the U.S. One of the jokes in Ecuador is mañana does not stand for tomorrow. It means not today. So things like you don't have, if you have someone scheduled to come in and fix something, they may or may not show up. If that frustrates you, don't go there. You will very likely pay your electric bill by walking down to the bank and writing a check. You will not pay online. So there are all these things that you take for granted that you can't do there. Most people don't take credit cards. It's a very cash-based society. By the way, the nice thing about Ecuador, they use the U.S. dollar. We come back, we run up about $6,000 in medical bills for my wife. She spends a night in the hospital. She is much, much better. And we just came back. We went in October to Ajijic, Mexico. And let me explain why. Let me explain the rationale why Ajijic is probably the place we're going to go. We're going to take it to the next step. Ajijic is on Lake Chapala, which is the largest lake in Mexico. It is just south of Guadalajara, which is the second largest city in Mexico. Guadalajara is easy peasy to get to, being one of the largest cities. And by the way, IBM is there. A whole bunch of major U.S. electronic manufacturers are there. There are multiple flights. There are many flights a day out of, for us, DFW, Dallas-Fort Worth. So it's very easy to get to. We caught a flight out of Austin at 6:10 a.m. We had a 10 o'clock flight out of DFW, and we were in Guadalajara Airport at a little after 1 o'clock in the afternoon. You walk out, and it's a 25-minute cab ride to Ajijic. And Ajijic is one of many cities along the north shore of Lake Chapala, and there are literally thousands of U.S. and Canadian expats who are living there. It's an ideal climate. It basically, no one has heating or air conditioning in their homes. As it turns out, we were renting a casita from the father of somebody I know from FlexJobs. And if anyone who knows me very well, I'm an affiliate of FlexJobs.com. And so I was renting from Leo because I wanted to rent from somebody I knew. He advertises his casitas on VRBO, which is Vacation Rental by Owner. Leo was wonderful. We immediately arrived. We've gotten much better. Within a half a day, we had all of the things we needed. I had my yogurt. We went to Leo took us to a monthly potluck for expats on the street. Learned a lot. There's some people who'd lived there for 20 years. And what we quickly found was, God, this was a supportive community. We stumbled upon the Lake Chapala Society, and I'll put the link to their website in the show notes. Lake Chapala Society actually is it's a group that owns several, I don't know, an acre or so compound that was apparently donated 50, 60, I don't know how many years ago. And it was a very, very supportive community. And everybody was so nice. I cannot say enough. As we started talking to people was, how did you do this? Everyone was saying, you may go to all these other places, but you'll come back here. We found the locals were incredibly friendly. It was inexpensive. Wow. We felt wonderful. And it's interesting. One of the things I noticed is because the temperatures were between 50 and 70 every day, we kept the windows open. And the sounds were different. The first morning we walk out, and the only paved street through town is the Cartiero, which is the main street that runs all the way along the lake for miles and miles and miles, and everything else is cobblestones. So the first morning I walk out from the casita, and I open the front door of the essentially courtyard, and there was a gentleman walking his horse, And behind the horse was a colt or a foal that was literally running behind like a puppy dog. I'm sorry, you don't see that. at least I don't see it in Austin, Texas. And so we've been looking at various locations. When we came back, the decision was, okay, we are going to come back for a month in next March. And we're going to shop for doctors, insurance, and rental properties. We did go visit with a real estate agent and looked at some properties. Things are very inexpensive. They're not cheap, but they're relatively inexpensive by American standards. And we're going to probably go rent for a while. Now, what I forgot to insert here at the beginning was right about the time that we were going to get started about going to San Miguel, I reviewed a book called Necessary Endings by Dr. Henry Cloud. And I will include the link to my review. Necessary Endings was introduced to me by one of my clients, and I've given it to several other clients. And by the way, I have several people within my online community reading the book now. It was, I want to say, life-changing, because Dr. Cloud talks about the fact that very often things need to end before we start new things. And he relates this at the beginning of the book, similar to a rose bush and a rose gardener. A rose bush will put out more blooms or buds than it's capable of supporting. So a good rose gardener will decide at the very beginning to trim it and prune it so that the limbs that he or she wants to live will flourish. Later, the rose gardener will come in and clip off those that are not doing so well. And finally, will come in at the end and trim off those that are dying or are dead. Well, by the way, we need to do the same thing with our careers, with our relationships, with so many different things. And by the way, we don't like ending things. And we've all done this. I don't want to leave this job because, or I don't want to end this relationship because it'll hurt, or I might hurt their feelings, or whatever. I want you to think about that. And so one of the questions I have, I've lived in Austin, Texas for 40 years. Next year, April of 2018 will be 40 years. So why am I still here? We have no family left here. My employment is no longer attached to the city. I can work from anywhere. The taxes have exploded. The city has exploded. I moved here in 1978. My wife moved to Austin in 76. We were 250,000 people. We have 1.2 million in the metro area. So it's not the same city. So why am I still here? It's expensive to live here now. If you remember the movie Slacker from the early 1990s, that was made here because this was a really cheap place to live. Very inexpensive, and you can have a good life. We are the most expensive place in Texas and one of the more expensive places in the Southwest. It's not inexpensive anymore. So why am I still here? Well, that's kind of what got all this started was, okay, this is the time. And to some extent, it was the health insurance that caused us to kick us in the butt to finally start go looking and saying, yes, I need to end this. What we are doing next year is we are going to go down in March for probably a month, shop for doctors, shop for health insurance, shop rental properties, and the plan is to probably go down for 6 months to a year in next July. And at that point, we can start making decisions. Now, our plans are to explore, while we're down there, Costa Rica, Panama, and Belize. So all of those are possibilities. Now, by the way, we chose some of the places we did because, yes, I watch a lot of International House Hunter. I don't want to live on the beach because most of these beachfront communities become very big vacation resorts. I want a community of both expats and locals who are there 12 months of the year, who have a community. Rather interesting, a hee-hee has that. I should say, a hee-hee has that. So We are going to kind of phase this in. We have not made any permanent decisions. We are going to rent out our condominium here in Austin. By the way, the condominium here in Austin, after I rent it, will probably throw off $1,000 a month, which will fund any housing and other things that we need in Ahihi. We should be able to rent something for about $500 a month, which will include utilities and internet and everything we need. So that gives you the thought process. We haven't decided that this is permanent. We may at some point in time go buy something. We will probably, after we've been for a while, we will probably go homeless and sell our house here. And we may buy some property someplace else. So this is a journey, and we are going to take this one step at a time. And again, I've had several people who have decided that, well, let's do this one step at a time. So with that, hopefully I've given you an idea of my thought process. The one thing also I failed to mention earlier on when we were looking at Gringo Tree as related to Ecuador, there was a post on there talking about health insurance, taking the state health insurance back in Ecuador, which was quite inexpensive. It was like $80 a month. And there's a gentleman who wrote a blog post on traversing the Ecuadorian healthcare system, which was pretty painful. It was very bureaucratic, very inconsistent, lots of waiting. But one of the things you had to understand, people retire overseas, often for two reasons. One, because they want to, there's an adventure to it. Two, because they have to. The gentleman who wrote the article, he and his wife had retired to Cuenca, Ecuador, because they had to. They were living on their $1,200 a month Social Security payment. That's all they had. The $79 a month was a lot of money. And by the way, they weren't there because they wanted to. So that's the key piece. Do you want to do this or do you have to do it? As I said, a significant number of people come back after before 5 years because the culture or their health. And so right now I am on the Chapala.com web board. I'll include the link there. It is a bulletin board, a chat group, whatever you want to call it, for folks, for the expats in along Lake Chapala. And a couple of weeks ago, I put a post in there looking for doctors for my wife. And within 24 hours, I had 28 responses. It was amazing. And I get all kinds of different opinions. You have to kind of ferret through the opinions. But it's all, everyone is trying to be helpful. That is one of the primary reasons we are looking at Ahihi first. That warmth, both from the locals and from the expats, has been quite endearing. So hopefully giving you something to think about. I'm going to have lots of links to all this in the show notes, so I suggest you go check out the show notes, which will be at careerpivot.com/episode-55. With that, I'm going to close out this and we'll go into the outro, and thank you very much. I hope you enjoyed that episode. As you can tell, I'm being very deliberate and thoughtful in planning this out. I also have to curb my wife's enthusiasm because this will take time. I'm currently working on what form of transportation do we take next year? Do we fly or drive with our cats? I'm fairly sure my Subaru Outback cannot be imported into Mexico, so we could drive down, but I need to drive back out and sell the vehicle in the U.S. Details, details, details. Please take a moment to take the Repurpose Your Career podcast audience survey. Please go to careerpivot.com/podcast survey or careerpivot.com/podcast-survey. Both will redirect you to a SurveyMonkey page. Please take a moment to let me know what you think. Also, please pick up a copy of Repurpose Your Career, a practical guide for the second half of life, at Amazon.com or any of the other fine online retailers. When you complete reading the book, I would very much appreciate if you would write an honest review on Amazon.com. I have completed recording the audio version of this book and will be editing it the week of Thanksgiving. Maybe I can get it out before the end of November. Lastly, I'm working on the Career Pivot Community website. The website is alive in prototype form, and I'm now opening a waiting list. If you are interested in learning more about the endeavor and would like to be on the waiting list, please go to careerpivot.com/community. When you sign up, you will receive more information about the community as it evolves. I currently have an initial cohort of around 10 individuals, all of whom are in the second half of life, and they're guiding me on what to build. I will let the next cohort of approximately 10 individuals in later in the year. I plan on having 4 or more beta groups that will be brought in approximately 10 at a time, where I will be accepting input on what are the needs of the community. This will be a paid membership community where I will be offering group coaching, special content, and more importantly, it will be a community where you can seek help. Please go to careerpivot.com/community to sign up and learn more. Thank you for listening all the way to the end of the Repurpose Your Career podcast. I hope you're looking forward to next week's episode where I will be answering your questions. You will find all the show notes at careerpivot.com/episode-55. Please hop over to careerpivot.com and subscribe to get updates on this podcast and all the other happenings at Career Pivot. I publish a blog post with show notes every Tuesday morning. If you subscribe to the Career Pivot blog, you will receive the Career Pivot Insights email every Sunday, which includes a link to this podcast. You can also subscribe to the podcast on iTunes, Stitcher, or Google Play. Hope to see you next Monday for another episode of Repurpose Your Career podcast.